Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Who's here for the first time today? A couple of people there. Welcome, welcome. Welcome. Anybody here? Welcome, welcome. It's nice to have you with us, and I do believe that today God's going to touch your heart, touch your life, and bless you abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
In the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1, there's a very interesting statement. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, why this is interesting is you must take into account that this is one of Jesus' disciples speaking to him. And he's asking him to teach on something which most of us would think, oh, but they obviously should know how to pray because they're his disciples. Do you agree with me? But they didn't know how to pray. And you know, that's something that I want to talk about before I even start with my message today, because God's been speaking to me about the church. You know, our churches are full of people that sit there every Sunday, but they don't know God's requirements for Christian living. I don't know if that makes sense to you. You can sit in a church for many years, and there's a lot of aspects of the kingdom of God and how God expects us to live our life that you might not know nothing about because nobody's ever taught you. Now, these disciples, they lived with Christ. They walked with him. They talked with him. They spent time with him. Yet there were things that they didn't just automatically know. They had to be taught. And that's the reason why God expects us to teach the congregation, expects us to teach people, because we can't just expect you to know. You know, many times we expect somebody that's been in the church for 5 or 10 or 15 or even 20 years, oh, they must know. But if you've never taught them, how do they know? Now you can argue with me and you can say, oh, but you know what? I've read through the Bible 3 or 4 times, and that doesn't mean you know. That just means you've read it. I can give you a book on physics, and I can let you read it 20 times, and you won't know nothing about what's going on there until somebody explains it to you and makes it plain. That is the purpose of teaching. So, yes, there's a lot of things that we need to know. You know, a lot of people, raise your hands if there's areas in your life where you're not happy. In other words, things are not falling into place. Just like, okay, yes. Where's that? Oh, these two. Hello. So all of us have some area in our life where it's like, oh, you know, I'm sort of okay, yeah, but when it comes to that, oh, big problems. And there I can cope with where it is, but yeah, big problems. Now, why is that? Doesn't the word of God say, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future? In other words, if you could have a dialogue with God today, he would say, man, I want to bless you. Now, just because God wants to bless you doesn't mean that you're blessed. Because we live down here where things can be complicated. And we live down here where sometimes we the reason why we are not blessed, because there are things we do not know. I want to ask you a question. Do you take out the food processor with all the blending attachment and what and give it to a 4-year-old to work with? What's going to happen? Okay, I don't even want to think about what's going to happen. It's going to be really disastrous. Okay? Do you call the same 4-year-old, give him a scalpel and tell him to perform brain surgery? It's like, open up, hello. No, it's not that bad. But you don't do that. Why? Because people need to be taught. We need to know and understand how things work. Now, you know, sometimes we have this expectation that somebody's in the church, so things must just be okay. They should know. How do you know if somebody didn't teach you? Somebody needs to teach you. Today I want to speak to you about something important. It's called integrity. And I want to ask you a question. This question is for all of you, whether you have children or you don't have children. Please listen to the question. How many of you love your children? And how many of you would love to see your children succeed in life? Just, okay, I know you don't have children yet, right? But somewhere in the future, you will, all right? Okay, so now, let's say, okay, I've got three children. I want the best for them. There's things in my life I never had. I want them to have it and more and more and more. I want them to have a good life. I want them to have a happy life. And you know what? One day when God comes to fetch me, I want to look at their lives and say, wow, I'm happy. They made something of their lives. They achieved something. They are blessed. So I suppose most parents want to see their children blessed, and we want to see our children successful. And here's the funny thing. There's many parents that go to great lengths to try and ensure that their children have the greatest and the best opportunities in life. They put them in good schools. You know, today, if you want to put your child in a private school, what does it cost you, roughly? Just 10,000 rand a month. Okay, nobody really has money to burn. So why are they putting their children in a school that costs 10,000 rand a month? Because they want the best for their children. They believe deep down inside that if I put my child in this school, he's going to have it better than if I put him in that school. We put our children in good schools. We have extra classes for them. We send them to university. Why do you send your child to university? Okay, I know there's a couple of you sitting here thinking, just to get rid of them. Okay, but let's just say it's not that way. You actually want them to become an engineer or to become a doctor or to become a teacher or to become whatever the case might be. You're investing money in a good and a bright future for your child. Now, what if I told you today that you can do all of that and you can do even more, things that I didn't even think of, but you might sit one day with a child that's still very unsuccessful. And it happens all the time. Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of young oaks that go to private schools, they end up with nothing. There's a lot of guys, they go to university, they spend 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years there, 10 years there. They still have nothing to show for it. And now we have to ask the question, is that what makes a child successful one day? Or is there more to this picture? So what if I was to tell you today that it's not so much what you do for your children, but who you are that will determine whether they're going to be blessed one day or not. Listen to what I said. I want to say something to you. There are people in this world that spend a bomb on their children. Like 200,000 rand a year, easy to be in some of the top schools. But because of who the father is, because of who the mother is, the child will never amount to nothing. Because you can't buy prosperity for your child. You invest that prosperity in who you are. The way you raise them will determine where they're going to go. And the way you live your life will determine where they're going to go. Now, but Rion, where do you get this stuff from? That doesn't sound right. Surely God can't work that way. But wait, let me show you. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 7 says, the just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Listen to what the word of God says. How do you ensure the blessing of God upon your children? Look at your neighbor and say, you better walk in integrity. Now you see, me spending a bomb on a private school, me mortgaging the house 5 times over to keep my child on university, and I expect him to be blessed when I cannot walk in integrity, means I am missing the point. Because that's not how God operates. What use is it? I spend all this money. I invest all this time. I give so much. But I live a horrible life. Can I tell you something? My children learn from my example. Hello? If I live my life like a piece of rubbish, how can I expect my children to be any different from the way that I have raised them? If you raise your children with integrity, they will have integrity one day. Then God will bless you and God will bless your offspring. Then you will be able to say like Abraham, my seed is truly blessed of God. The future of your family depends greatly on how you are living your life today. Now that's a shock for most people. And I want to tell you something. When I wrote this sermon, it causes you to think about your life differently. You know, it's so easy for us to go out there and think, you know what, I'll do this and I'll do that. So what? Who cares? Nobody knows. Let me help you to understand something. God is omnipresent. He knows everything. And then there is another scary thought in this world. The devil might not be omnipresent, but there's a demon around every bush. They see what you're up to. And these are the things that come back and haunt you later in life. And this is the reason why sometimes we are not going forward. And that's a problem. The future of your family depends greatly on how you are living your life today. Who here in this place is a newlywed? Mr. Wilson? Oh, Mr. Wilson's gone out. Rochelle? Are there any other newlyweds here? You haven't been married long. Okay, then I'm going to have to pick on you today. Sorry for you, but that's the way it is. You don't have children yet, do you? Imagine if she was pregnant now and she had to drop that bomb. It's like, okay. You don't have children yet, but you want them to be blessed, right? Okay, then this is what you must understand today. The best way for you to ensure that they will be blessed is for you to address how you are living your life today. Because God's blessing on them, even your future children, depends on your life and your lifestyle today. If you want to invest in good opportunities for your children, if you want the favor of God to be upon your family, show God who you are, and God will show you who He will cause your children to be one day. The greatest influence you can have on your children is to live a righteous life and to lead by example. I want to remind you that in God's word, there is no place for do what I say, don't do what I do. And that's how we often do with our children. It's like we do everything wrong, but then we want to spank them because they begin to do what we do. Why do you think there is a proverb that says the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? The reason they came up with that proverb is because whether you like it or not, your children will follow your example. Even if you try and force them not to follow your example, you will fail. Because the one person that every child looks up to is their parent. And you do not realize what an impact you have on their life. If you have a good influence on your children, they will be good. If you have a bad influence on your children, they will be bad. Because it's a case of monkey see, monkey do. They're going to do what you do. If you treat your wife like rubbish, your son will treat his wife like rubbish. If you treat your mother with disrespect, your daughter will treat you with disrespect. We don't realize it, but that's what we create. And in a sense, even though we don't believe in it, that's karma. Because the wheel turns and things come back. So what must we put into our children? The best. We must treat them right. We must teach them right. And we must live a godly life. Because when that is what we do, then God says, ooh, I am going to bless you and I am going to bless your children. Amen. Children of godly men grow up with more wisdom than others. You know, there's a lot of kids that go to school and they learn a lot. But I want to tell you something. Knowing how frogs reproduce, knowing how lilies grow, knowing how the waves impact the coastline, etc., etc. It's nice to know, but it won't change nothing about your life. That's knowledge, not wisdom. Where does a child learn wisdom? From his father and his mother. The child learns how to deal with conflict by looking at mommy and daddy. The child learns how to work with money by looking at mommy and daddy. The child learns how to interact in a relationship by seeing it from mommy and daddy. And knowing these things is called wisdom. There's a lot of children out there, they have an IQ of 160. They consider geniuses. But when it comes to wisdom, the IQ is zero. Because they don't know much. Because they've never been taught much. And let me help you to understand something. To live life, knowledge doesn't take you far. Wisdom takes you far. Why you think Solomon was so blessed of God? Because he asked God for wisdom. And God was like, what? You could have asked me for anything. But you asked me for wisdom. You didn't ask me for riches. You didn't ask me for power. You didn't ask me for status. You didn't ask me for grandeur. You asked me for wisdom. Because you asked me for wisdom, not only will I give you all the wisdom you can handle, but I'll give you all the other things you never asked me for. The Bible says we must seek after wisdom as a man would seek after buried treasure. Do you hear that? We should seek after wisdom as a man would seek after buried treasure. If you want your children to amount to something, invest wisdom in their life. Where are they going to get wisdom? From the way you live your life. Amen. Children of godly men grow up with much more wisdom than their peers. Because of their parents, they are naturally more inclined to prosper. Why? Because they begin to live their life in a godly way, and God blesses obedience. He does not bless disobedience. But besides that, God clearly says here that He Himself will supernaturally favor the children of godly men. I want to tell you something. Let's take a school. It's full of children. There can be 1,000 children. There will be a couple of children that will stand out. The teachers will see it. The children will see it. Everybody will see it. Why? Because it looks like everything just always falls into place for those children. Go and examine the parents and you will learn a lot. Because children whose lives go like that have godly fathers and mothers. And the favor of God comes upon them. Doors open for them. Things fall into place for them. You want that for your children. I know you do. It's easy to have. But probably it's going to cost you a price, because probably it's going to mean maybe you need to change the way you're living your life right now. And I want to tell you something. It's never too late to start. Maybe your children right now, they're 16, 17 years old. Maybe they're 20, 21, 22 years old. They'll still listen to you. You still have influence in their life. Maybe it's time for you to realize, oh, I haven't been the world's best example. I can do a lot better. Maybe it's time for you to realize, oh, you know, I took the Bible with a pinch of salt, but now I realize there's substance to it. If I start applying it, it's going to change not just my life, but the life of my children. A good man lives a life of integrity. He doesn't just claim to live a life of integrity. What do I mean by that? Listen to Proverbs 20 verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? The Bible says, how difficult is it to find a faithful man? Now, the first part of the verse. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We're talking about a man or a woman of integrity. If you truly have integrity, do you always have to go around reminding people, listen, I'm a good guy. I'm such a nice oak. You know, I do everything right. When people walk around and they have too much to say about themselves, turn around and walk away because there's no integrity. Integrity doesn't have to advertise itself. Integrity is noticeable by all. To be a man of integrity, you don't tell everyone how good you are. They'll see it for themselves. Isn't that just, unfortunately, how things have become? You see, unfortunately, the way things are these days, everybody is very quick to tell you how good they are, why they are good, or what good qualities or deeds they have within them. There's another proverb I want to remind you of. It goes something like this: talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Today, in the business world, there's a lot of people that can sell ice to an Eskimo. They're very quick with the mouth. Don't let people's words entice you. Look past the words and look at the life. Because when you study the life, you will know whether this is somebody you should get involved with or not. It's amazing how when you meet some people, oh man, they got all the right things to say. But what if what they're saying is not backed up by the way they are living? Are those the people you want to associate with? Are those the people you want in your inner circle? Are those the people that you really want close to you? No. You rather want to be close to the one that has very little to say. But when you look at his life speaks volumes. Those are the people that God blesses. A man of integrity doesn't have to convince anyone how good or righteous he is. You will see it clearly in the way he walks. And it's got nothing to do with whether he walks like this or like this. It's got to do with his life, the life that he lives. His life will reflect the fear of God in his heart. And he will live his life by faith in Christ. And God will send his blessing and his favor on his descendants. In other words, his children will be blessed. Now, this proverb comes with a wonderful promise. And if today we truly want to be wise, we will listen carefully. We will bury this promise in our hearts. And we will aspire to change in the areas where we need to change. So that God not only will bless you, but bless your children. Now, I want to be clear on one point now. The just man here, who walks in integrity, does not refer to the average Christian. Now it's time to call a spade a spade. He is not somebody who acts holy on Sundays, and when he's amongst other believers, and he has to put up a show, but during the week he lives like a worldly man. This is the problem in the church today. This is the problem in Christianity today. We are full of people that talk the talk. I want to promise you something. When you go to Home Affairs and you go pull the files on the population of South Africa, probably 70% of South Africa, religion, Christian. That's what it says. But go follow their life. Go spend a week with them. If they ask you, what religion is that person? Chances are you will write, Philistine. Because the thing is, it's not what you say or you write on a piece of paper that makes you a Christian. It's the way you live your life. And you've heard me say this before, but the reason churches are empty today is because people look at Christians and they say, I don't want to be like that. And that's a sad thing because it gives a bad name to the kingdom of God. And it gives a bad name to God himself. And you must understand something. God is worried about his name. Let me help you to understand something. I started off just now and I was speaking to you about prayer. And that the disciples came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Lord, please teach us how to pray. Now, where does the Lord's Prayer come from? The Onse Vader. Waar kom het vandaan? Louis, ken jy die Onse Vader? Genuine. Kom gauw hier. Ek wil jy nou nie op die spot sit nie. En Chico gaan hy brein cell en I'm not gonna, do you know it in English? Ken jy die Onse Vader in Engels? Okay, I'm not going to put him on the spot. Ken jy hom in Afrikaans? Sê hom gou vir my, ek wil hoor.
Onse Vader in die hemel.
Ons Vader wat in die hemel is.
Ons Vader wat in die hemel is.
Heilig is U naam.
Heilig is U naam.
Laat U koninkryk kom.
Laat U koninkryk kom.
Laat U wil
geskied. Laat U wil geskied.
Okay, now I put him on the spot.
No.
Now we know that he's got two colors, white and red. You support the Lions, right? Now then you fit right in. So now here's the thing. Our Father, who art in heaven. And then it goes in English. Hallowed be thy name. What does that say to you? Hallowed be thy name. Laat u geheilig sy u naam. If God included his name in the prayer that he gave man, do you think God's name is important to him?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. You can sit. Learn something today. God's name is important to him. What's your surname?
Paish.
What? Ooh, I can't even pronounce that. Let me find another one. Paish, what? Paish. Paish. That sounds a bit like fish. Because I know in Portuguese fish is peixe. Okay, but you are not peixe. So I want to introduce you to Mr. Fish. No, he's not Mr. Fish. Okay, so you pronounce it differently. Peixe. Okay. Would you be happy if people go around and they dishonor your name? They have bad things to say about you. No. Then how can we think that it's okay for God? Okay, what car is it? There's a blue Taz Toyota. Who drives the blue Taz Toyota? There we go. It's Mr. Fernando. Here's where I'm going with this. We call ourselves Christians, but we do whatever we want. People see us and associate us with God. What association are we showing them? Because we represent the name of God. You don't think that way normally, but today I want to challenge you and I want you to think what I do, whether people are around or not around. People associate me with the name of God. Am I giving God a good name today or am I giving God a bad name today? When I lose my temper and I start swearing and shouting and yelling like that, am I putting God in a good light or am I putting God in a bad light? You see, I don't want to be in a position where I keep putting God in a bad light because, you see, it's probably going to come back to me. It's probably going to cause a problem somewhere in my life. So I need to put God in a good light. It's important to him. So, the man that is spoken about here, you see, there's a lot of Christians, they're quick to quote scriptures. My children will be blessed because I serve God. No. How do you serve God? Because you see, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, it's like conditions there. It's got nothing to do with whether you write on a piece of paper, I'm a Christian. The question is rather, does your wife see that you're a Christian? Does your husband see that you're a Christian? Do your children see that you're a Christian? Does your boss see that you're a Christian? Do your workers see that you're a Christian? Do your friends at school see that you are what you profess you are? And if not, there's your problem. God can't bless that. It's going to create problems somewhere in your life. The type of person, okay, let's get back, otherwise I'm going to lose my train of thought. Let's be clear on one point. The just man here who walks in integrity does not refer to just any so-called Christian. He's not somebody who acts holy on a Sunday or when he's with other Christians. He's like, he's got the right things to say and he's all like, oh yeah, broer, sister, yeah, and all this. You know? But in the week, he might as well be the devil himself. That's not the man God is talking about. He's somebody who has become a true follower of Jesus Christ. He's consistent in his devotion to God. And he chooses to honor God's word in every area of his life. And let me make a statement here, because sometimes people take this thing very, very wrong. I want to tell you something. To serve God is not boring. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, you know, all these Christians are so boring. That's why I don't want to be like that. You're missing the point and you're watching the life of the wrong people. Because I serve God and I don't have a boring life. I have a very exciting life. I have a very fulfilled life. I'm blessed of God in so many ways. He's not self. Yeah, I want to tell you something. I can laugh without getting bombed. I can have fun without being sozzled. And God is good. The man that we're talking about, yeah, is not self-righteous. In other words, he doesn't think too much of himself, but he's humble before God. He doesn't think too highly of himself or of his family, and he has no problem serving others. Let us consider the example of a man that we all know from the Bible. His name was David. David was not a perfect man. I think we all know that. Yet God still considered David to be a man after God's own heart. David's life was in line with Proverbs 20 verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. David's descendants were blessed by God many, many, many times over because of David. Listen to this, and I want you to understand this. They were not blessed because of who they were blessed because of who David was. And this is what you have to understand. David was a just man, and David was a man of integrity. I'm going to read you a scripture. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 9. The Lord became very angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from God, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice. Although he did not keep God's commands. Sorry. The Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's commands. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my commands, and you have not kept my decrees, which I have commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you, and I will give it to one of your subordinates. Okay, just to quickly put you into perspective here. Solomon is king of Israel. God told him, you will not bow down to any false gods. You will not worship any false gods. There is one God that you serve. I am that God. Solomon got himself 1,000 women or something ridiculous like that. And of course, these women were like, oh, Solomon, if you really love me, then you will come to my temple with me. Solomon had a bit of a problem. He liked women a lot. Probably too much. And so every time when they were like this, eventually he sort of gave in and he was like, oh, okay, all right. Okay, just this once. And then he goes and he bows down to that God, because if my wife wants it, how bad can it be? But God said, don't do it. And eventually it became a lifestyle. He stopped worshiping God and he began to worship all sorts of false gods because of pressure from another one. Now, God speaks to him and he says, I've seen what you've been doing. I don't agree. I told you not to do this. And because you've done this, there's going to be consequences. I'm taking away the kingdom. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do this during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but I will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant. Do you hear that? This you must grasp. Solomon should have been put to death, but God spared his life because of his father. Solomon should have lost everything, but God only took away a portion because of the life of David, his father. I want you to understand something. The way you live your life can spare your child tomorrow. Because if God is blessed with your life, if God is blessed with my life, then God looks at our children differently. And that's a amazing blessing. So, yes, this is amazing. Solomon is messed up in the worst way possible. Solomon is punished by God, but because of David's faithfulness to God. The Lord still shows Solomon mercy, even though he didn't deserve it at all. The mercy that Solomon received came through David and his life before God. Solomon still had favor from God, even though he deserved nothing. David left his children so much more than just status or position or power. Because of David, God had promised to bless his children. And I want to say something to you, and this is profound. There is no greater provision that you can make for your children than to know that God himself has promised to look after them and bless them. There's some of you here. I'm sure there is one or two of you here. You like to do everything for your children. But I want to remind you, tomorrow you're gone. And what's going to happen to them then? No, they're going to remember. But listen to what my... Understand where I'm going. You had to do everything for them. But tomorrow you're gone. Who's going to do what for them then? You must come to a place where God begins to do everything for them. Do you understand where I'm going? If you live the right life, then God says, don't worry, I've got him. I'll take care of him. When he falls, I'll catch him. When he stumbles, I'll pick him up. When he's in need, I'll provide for her or whatever. And this is what God wants to talk to you about today. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 15, verse 1 to 5, it says the following. Again, speaking about David. In the 8th year of the reign of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijah became king of Judah. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 3 years. He committed all the sins that his father had done before him. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. Nevertheless, listen to this. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem. Do you hear that? The Bible starts off by telling us this was not the world's best boy. In fact, he was a little bit of a bad influence. But because of his forefather David, God did not destroy him. That's profound. You know, your children are going to make some mistakes one day, whether you like it or not. You can already invest in God helping them in that difficult time. If God is happy with your life today, if God is blessed with your life today, your children will fall, but God will pick them up. They will go off track, but God will bring them back because of you. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem. By raising up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem strong. Do you hear that? For David's sake, God made Jerusalem strong. Not only did his offspring, his children, get the blessing of God, but because of David, even Jerusalem, the people, were made strong by God. Yeah, that's powerful. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. David had already been gone a couple of 100 years. God was still blessing his offspring. You want to bless your children? It's not that difficult. It doesn't take money. It takes character. It takes integrity. It takes a heart that follows after God. And then God says, I will take care of your children. Once again, several generations after David, his descendants are still experiencing the blessing of God. Even though they obviously don't deserve it, God's still blessing them. God even blesses Jerusalem, the city, the people, to make it strong because of David. Now David himself wrote about this in the book of Psalms. Psalm, what's this? 37 verse 25 says, David speaking. He says, I was young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and they lend freely and their children will be blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, their children will be blessed. Their children will be blessed. The children of the righteous have something that other children unfortunately cannot have. They have parents who have guaranteed that their children's lives will be prosperous through the lives that they, the parents, are living right now. You ask me, Rian, what are you busy with? I'm investing in my child's future. How are you doing that? Did you go to Sanlam? Did you go to O Mutual? No, I'm doing it with my life. And then they all think you're mad. They all think you're crazy. But they don't understand the Word of God. And let me tell you something. The Word of God does not fail. Because God won't let it. Every parent loves their children. And every parent wants the best for their lives. It's not about that university education. It's not about the money you spend to try and prepare them to succeed. If you want to invest in a prosperous future for your kids, invest in a godly life for yourself today. And then both you and your children can not fail. Numbers 25 verse 10 says, the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites. God was angry with the Israelites and God wanted to wipe the floor with them. But then this man called Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, began to pray, began to intercede, began to speak to God. Then God goes on, he says, he has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he is as zealous as I am for my honor amongst them. Do you hear that? Phinehas was zealous for the honor of God. In other words, we're coming back to God's name. He wanted God's name to be glorified. He wanted everything done in God's name to be done right. And he interceded for the people and he began to pray to God. Now God says, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor amongst them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. In other words, God wanted to put an end to them, but because of this one man, God said, I'm going to back off. Therefore, tell him, I am making my covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the favor and the honor of God. And he made atonement for the Israelites. This is what I want you to realize. Because God meant something to Phinehas. And he wanted the name of God to be upheld. The glory of God to be uplifted and established. And he was fighting for that. God said, because of this, today I make you a promise. I will bless you. And I will bless your children. They will always serve as priests in my kingdom. We don't always realize how who we are and what we do can affect generations after us. But it has a profound effect. If God sees in you a hunger and a thirst for God and the things of God, God will one day look at your children in a different light. Amen. Jeremiah 35 verse 18 says, then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your father Jonadab, and you have followed all his instructions, and you have done everything he ordered. Now therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, you will never fail to have a man to serve me. The father honored God. The Father blessed God. God spoke through the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet, and he said, call Jonadab. Bring him here. Prophesy this over him. Because of who you are, because of who you are in my life, because of what you meant to me, today I'm blessing you, and I want you to know I bless you, and all your offspring will be blessed because of you. Phinehas and Jonadab are biblical examples of men who honored God, and God blessed their offspring. Now, sometimes we read the Bible and we have this kind of thing like, it's history. It's not history. The Word of God is living. It still applies to today. Doesn't the Bible say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then what God did then, He will do today. God's not dead, like some people say. God's very much alive. And God's not a distant God. God is part of our life every day. So were these promises only for them? No. Listen to Psalm 112, verse 1 to 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands, for his children will be mighty in the land. It doesn't even say that the children fear God. It doesn't say that the children, there's nothing about the children except they've got a parent that loves God, honors God, and blesses God. And because of that, the child will be mighty in the land. Do you want your child to be a mighty man of God one day? Do you want your child to be a mighty businessman one day? Do you want your child to be a mighty father, or your daughter to be a mighty mother? Do you want them to be a captain of industry? Well, it's not that difficult. You can send them to business school. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You can send them to university. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You can put them in the best school in the country. It can cost you $500,000 to keep them there. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But what I'm saying to you is this. If you do all of that, but you don't honor God with your life, you waste your money. They'll go nowhere. And then you can put your child in a plain Jane little school. They might not have the money to go to university. People might look down on them and think, oh, it's that family again. But because in your heart you love God and you put God first, they will rise to the top. Because God will push them to the top. Amen. I want to remind everybody here today, there is an invisible force that works in everybody's life. In some people's lives, He works powerfully. In some people's lives, He's barely present. Other people hear of Him but never know Him. It's called God. The Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God begins to work in somebody's life, everybody will see it in the end. You know how many people at school, they are looked at by others and it's like, oh, this one won't amount to nothing. Oh, that one won't amount to nothing. Oh, this one doesn't come from a good family. Where you come from is not as important as where God is taking you. God doesn't care where you come from. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God is a specialist at opening doors at the right time. Some people stand before that door and they are banging it and they are kicking it and they are trying to push it open. If God doesn't open the door, my friend, it will not open. And then there's other people, they don't even have to open the door because when they come walking, whoosh. Did you ever see Star Trek? You come walking, whoosh. Some people are like that. And you know why? Look at your neighbor and say, because they're special. No, I'm not lying. And I'm not saying they're better than anybody else. They're special because God looks at them with favor. Because there's something inside of them that attracts God. Because when God looks at them, He smiles. It's like, oh wow, what's your name again? Oh wow, Thomas has just woken up. Oh, I've got good things for him today. And God releases them. We sometimes say, now wait, let me finish. Psalm 112 verse 1 to 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. For his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. What is in the house of the righteous? Wealth and riches. Okay, but what are we talking about? Are we talking about serious cha-ching? Well, it includes that, but it's not just that. Wealth is the things that mean something to us. There's a lot of people that have a stiff bank account, but they got no peace. They're not wealthy. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's some people that got money that you can't even count the zeros, but they got no health. Sounds a bit like somebody I once heard. What is this figure that I can't read the numbers? What good is it if you have that bank account but you got no health? You're not prosperous. You got money but you're not prosperous. The world is full of people that think they got everything. But prosperity is bigger than that. What good is it you got all that money and your children won't talk to you? You are your third or fourth or fifth wife and they don't love you. Oh, I'm almost finished. It's fine. You're not prosperous. People look up to you and it's like, oh, there's that one. He drives that car and he lives in that house. And it's like, ooh, we're not worthy, you know? But you got nothing because you're not wealthy in God's eyes. Money doesn't make you wealthy. Money doesn't make you prosperous. Get the picture. When the power of God is in your life, you're prosperous. You know, there's people in this world. When we look at them, we're like, oh, shame. Don't be, oh, shame. They got more than what you got. Because they got health. They got prosperity. Godly prosperity. There's love in that house. There's peace in that house. And you know what? They don't have lack. They're content with what they got. They're more prosperous than some other people that we like to look at. Don't you agree? Amen. We sometimes say that God does not have favorites. In fact, I say that many times. God doesn't have favorites. I'm eating my words now because I'm wrong. Apparently, this is not the case. God sees the children of the righteous and the just in a very different light. You want your children one day to be God's favorites? Start working at it today. Apparently, you're getting married one of these days. Probably there's children on the way. You want them to be blessed, right? Start working on it today. I want to make you a promise. If you live the life that God wants you to live, your children are going to go far. They will excel at everything they do. Yes, to some extent because of you, but because of God's promise over your life. Amen. There are many reasons why you should honor God and live a godly life. I want to say to you, firstly, do it for your own sake. But secondly, take into account what we spoke about today and begin to do it because you want the best for your children. Because the way you live your life today determines where your children are going to be tomorrow. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Yeah.